The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Election Day here on WBEM. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer here with you to bring you through. You know, we've been saying, oh, election coverage kicks off at 7. No, it doesn't. It kicked off at 5 a.m. this
sure
morning.
Did.
And WBEN has you covered wall to wall.
My son was up at 4:30. He said, just because you're not in this morning doesn't mean you don't wake up early. So
yeah.
Dawson and I were in his room listening to the start of the show, just like every day.
There you go. Well, let's be honest. You were listening for George.
I was.
And then
I was like,
you just
happened
to hear us, too.
I forgot. They start at 5. It is election day. Brian, I can make a prediction. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
I predict the person that is elected today will be the 47th president of the United States.
Okay.
That is my prediction.
It's a fair shot of happening.
Yeah.
What if no one's elected today?
I'm sorry. The votes casted today is what I meant.
Is that outrageous to you?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Everything is being scanned on a computer. Now, I realize like recounts and stuff, but initial numbers, we should have raw data before Alaska closes their polls. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. That's where we should be in 24. You and I said this last week. There's no hanging chads. Like,
mm-hmm.
No one votes like that anymore.
Now, there are a few points to be made here.
Okay.
Like, one, we do understand that, you know, throughout history, and this is something that unless you're really, and again, I think a lot of people who are really into it take for granted that everybody is paying as much attention and is as super into it as they are.
Right.
Which is not the case.
No.
So, and, you know, it might, even people who are really into it on election night, you know, might not realize when a race is called by a news network or something like that. I mean, that doesn't mean that all the votes are in and they won,
right? They're looking at how the votes are going and what
counties have yet to report traditionally how they vote, and they're making a projection. And when they feel very confident, they will call the race. But they're still, the total vote isn't in necessarily in a lot of those states.
That call is not in stone. In 2000, Florida was called for Al Gore.
Yeah.
He ended up not winning Florida.
In tonight, New York will be called for Kamala Harris at 9
How
o'clock.
How dare you say that, Brian?
But no, like that is what happens on election. As soon as the polls close, and we can call it New York in for it, because you know it's a deep blue state. They'll do the same for California, out west.
Texas.
You will see that happen. Well, Texas, I don't know this year.
Yeah, I mean, most polls say Trump is comfortable. Cruz,
sure,
not so much.
But I don't know if they will
right
be...
Right, Montana.
As soon as the polls,
Montana.
Yes, your home, away from home, Montana. But like that is, they didn't count all the votes yet,
right?
Like they're just making that call.
But it is ridiculous, like in Pennsylvania, that you can't count early votes before today.
Yes. So now here in New York and in other places where they've changed the law to reflect more how people are voting, right? I had it up this morning. Where did I find it? I got to get the exact number. Was it 78? Yes, 78 million Americans at least. More than 78 million Americans have already voted. That is half the total who voted in 2020. So isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe half the vote is in if you're expecting more people to vote than did in 2020. Maybe it's still near half the vote. But that is a lot of votes that should be tallied up as they come in. Now, here in New York, it used to be the absentee ballots weren't counted. They weren't open until Election Day, and then the count would begin. So if there was a really close race, then it might take a long time because there were laws set in stone. Well, you can't count these ballots till they're all in, and then you open them, and then you get a count. And, you know, let's say there's 3,000 absentee ballots in a certain race, and the difference is 200 votes.
Yeah.
You know,
we saw that in a congressional district here in New York.
You have to wait until the vote is counted, and it couldn't be counted. Now they've opened it up. Early voting, you'll see that. At 9 o'clock, you know, all the people who voted early, a lot of the absentees, you'll see that, boom, everything that's counted at 9 o'clock, it's there. Why is Pennsylvania different? I don't, you know, Chris Starwald was saying the same thing just a couple minutes ago here with us. he doesn't know, he doesn't get it. You know, why must it happen this way? I think it only frustrates people and will only lead to questions and complaints about the vote when you don't have something that's relatively quick, as it should be.
Now, I know I'm stating the obvious here, Brian, but, you know, as you said, the presidential race in New York most likely will not be close. But there will be congressional races in New York that actually could decide the House of Representatives. So that will be something interesting to keep your eyes on in New York State tonight as you see the results coming in. Just wanted to make that point.
Lots of great stuff to cover, and of course, WBEN is with you here for it. Did you make it in today? Obviously, you did, but I mean, how?
Yeah, so I'm not the best with cars. We all know that, right? So yeah. I am actually here today in my mother's car because over the weekend, my car had trouble starting and then would not go into gear. Yada, yada, yada. I had it towed to my mechanic, and I can say my mechanic because I pay full rate. I don't get a special deal. Snyder Automotive, they do a great job. And, this morning, my mechanic called my mom and not me because he said, you can yell at him instead of, because I don't want to. I guess I went a little over on the oil, and it knocked out one of my spark plugs.
What's a little?
So, I was supposed to go 5,000, and I was edging on 10,000.
That's
on an engine with less than 60,000 miles on it.
So the old adage is 3,000 miles, but with the new great technology of synthetic motor oils, you can actually push it a little bit more.
Yeah, I guess
you wanted to see and run the test just how much you could push it.
It's like it's a young engine.
Yeah.
So now I have to get an oil change, and this one I have to make sure it's in before 3,000 to repair the damage I've done to my engine. So, I was like, oh my gosh, how is this happening? Well, it's happening because I'm an idiot. So that was my experience.
Well, at first you were like, how is this happening? My car is only 60,000 miles old and the spark plugs are right. And then I just did a quick search of tracks,
right,
spark plugs. Oh, 60,000 miles. You're supposed to replace them.
Yeah.
So
I guess I'm just following.
You're right on schedule.
But apparently the oil got very old and sludgy and it knocked out a spark plug. So that is that's where we are. So if you have a Chevy Trax, make sure you actually follow because the mechanic said there are cars, like my mom's car. She has a Chevy Traverse. That one you can go a little over, but the engines on the Trax are not built for that, and they will sludge up and knock things out. Or he goes, you very well could have fried your engine with how bad the oil was in that. So
yeah, it wouldn't have been good.
No.
So I'm glad you're here.
So, you know, here's the thing. I'm cheap, and I try to, you know, be good with my money, but at the end of the day, I'm the reason I spend more money. Because I'm an idiot. So I just
wanted you saved on oil.
Not
that
really.
That one time.
For a month.
For that one time, you really saw the savings.
So hopefully after the show, I'll have my car. I'll have it tonight for election coverage. Not that that matters to anybody. But thanks to my parents, at 36, I still have to lean on my parents for a car when mine's at the shop. So I am greatly appreciated for that.
Well, I'm wondering, looking through all the different places, Joe, that you can find. I mean, obviously here on WBEN, it's the best, right? You want to keep it locked here, especially if you're out anywhere. You tune into WBEN, you keep up to date of what's going on with the election. But at home, you have no shortage of options on how to take in election night coverage.
Yeah.
Now, maybe more than ever. I think I've seen more election coverage shows advertised for this year than I ever have before. And it's not even like, you know, we've had a lot of networks before, but a lot of times, like, the networks used to simulcast. Like, it's still relatively new that each of the individual cable networks and like all these other things would have their own broadcast.
MSNBC,
they would maybe simulcast the network coverage.
MSNBC, before they became, I mean, they're the Fox of the left. MSNBC used to simulcast, you know, when it was Tom Brokaw, right? That would be simulcast on MSNBC. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Now they have their own coverage. And Fox, well, Fox does still simulcast on Fox Network, but Fox Business has their own coverage. And yeah, so on and so forth. And I believe this year, I heard you say Amazon has their own coverage.
Amazon has coverage with Brian Williams.
Yeah, bringing him back.
He said they might go 10 hours.
So that is until 5, which
10 hours of Brian Williams and whoever else they got over there.
What's he been doing
Amazon
the last few years? He's got time banked.
He's ready to go. And you can see it. But I want to know, like, what election coverage do you watch? Like, how do you take it in on election night? It's like the one time, do you stick with one network? Do you bounce around? Have you switched in maybe recent years to something online where you used to watch a major network? Maybe you just don't watch at all. 803-0930 to let us know this morning on WBEN, 803-0930.
So I would tell everyone to do what I told my wife to do, and that is to listen to us on a smart speaker and watch someone's coverage. So that's what I told her to do at the Beamer house. But I can tell you this. When I was younger, my family always watched Peter Jennings. My mom was a huge Peter Jennings fan. I think he was one of the best newsmen of our time. And ABC was always Good Morning America, ABC News Tonight, and special coverage was always ABC. Since then, this is pretty obvious, they've moved to Fox News. I am a very big fan of, if I'm not sitting in this studio and actually working, sitting on the couch and flipping between broadcasts.
Yeah.
Because I like to see what CNN's saying, because guess what, Brian? You might find this surprising. CNN and Fox aren't always saying the same thing. So I like to hear what they're saying. I'd still like to go to ABC, to CBS, to NBC. I like to see what they're all doing. I am a nerd. I realize that. But I like to check on all the different coverages.
I used to be a flipper.
Yeah.
But it was 2, 4, and 7. You know, yep. I would be flipping between 2, 4, and 7.
Yep.
And the rule was, if you're on a commercial, you're being turned off. Like, that's...
Don't tell our advertisers that. No,
but on TV, like, that's how it would go when you had the TV channels all lined up, like, all right, 2, 4, and 7. They went to a break. I could flip to one or the other.
Yeah.
It was mostly for me between, I think I would watch a lot of NBC and ABC.
Yeah.
And flip back and forth. And then CBS was like the third option that I had there, where I'd just kind of flip between network coverage. You know, I like to stay up to date. Had nothing to do with what they were saying or who was on or that much.
You just wanted consistent coverage.
I just wanted consistent, anything changing? What's going on? They're talking about it. It's interesting.
And CBS did take a backseat when we were kids. I mean, NBC and ABC were the 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that? I'm glad that I'm not the only. I don't know why. I don't really have
Peter Jennings, Tom Brokaw. No offense to Dan Rather, but Peter Jennings and
Tom
Brokaw.
Is that why? Yeah. I think just the look of it or something. I don't know.
Yeah. They were always ahead in graphics. They were also...
That's probably it.
You want to hear a real nerd comment? They used to be the same network back in the day. Yeah. And then NBC Red and NBC Blue split, and NBC Blue became ABC. Sorry, just wanted to throw that out there.
No, it's a good little nugget. But nowadays, like, where do you... So that was when I was a kid, you know, flipping around the networks. And then as I was a little older, I was working more on election night. And even before, like, election coverage... working out, doing, a whole bunch of different things. So I wasn't really glued to the TV as much. And I found myself, especially as soon as I got the smartphone in hand. And this is like the weird thing about going and covering one of these big election night parties is they don't necessarily have all like the coverage on. Isn't that surprising to you to hear that for the first? Like, you would expect election night coverage for there to be on like a TV somewhere with the election on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not always the case. You'll find that they'll have a TV with the Board of Elections page and the local results as they're coming in.
Yeah. That's not fun.
But there's not really a great way to keep up to tabs with the presidential race or anything else. So I got, and I know this in 2016. 2016 was the year I basically watched the entire election, obviously listening to us because I was part of our coverage on the air, but I watched the election on the New York Times little election speedometer.
I love that.
The little needle that sways one way or the other that predicts kind of where things will be going. Yeah. And I basically took in the entire 2016 election because there were no TVs on or anything like that. Although there is a TV on in a back room somewhere, and I know that because that's where everybody was going.
Peering through, yeah,
like in a back room somewhere where I wasn't allowed. But I took the entire election in through like the little needle, and it was an interesting way to do it. No commentary or whatever. It's just, all right, here's the state goes there.
In 2016,
here's how the odds change.
2016 is when that was where you first saw things starting to change. Was that New York Times needle?
Yeah,
I remember I was in the control room that day. I remember you coming back, and we were still on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And that needle is what really started to move things, and people go, wait a minute. this might not be going the way everyone thinks.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the needle. And I the needle started to shift, and I'd be looking around like, hey, you guys see this needle? No? Anybody? What's going on?
But it is interesting, like all of the coverage, not only on TV, online, you talk about all the different things. The Daily Show is going live with the election coverage.
So now, like, that's the thing. Now it's not just, we were talking about the networks when we were kids, and then it's cable news gets involved, and I was watching The Needle in 2016. But now it's every, any popular podcast, any popular website, anything, they've got a YouTube live stream with their own version yep. of election coverage. It's almost as if there is going to be, Joe, it reminds me of the NFL, and they do their Nickelodeon broadcast, or like they do the, Toy Story, like their yeah. AI or whatever it's called, CGI football game, where you can, I think I'm going to be able to watch SpongeBob anchor the election tonight if I really went to look for it.
That would actually be very fun. But I'd watch that.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's something tailored for just about everybody.
I'd like to know what Patrick has to think about.
I want to know, like, how people are taking... Do you seek out something that you already enjoy and you're going to be, listening in to that version of the election coverage? Or is it maybe... I think for a lot of people, it might be the one night a year you're watching the network news,
yeah,
as it has been for a long time for so many people.
And some people, Brian, tonight will be watching MSG on election night.
Yeah. Do you ignore it all and watch the hockey game where you're still going to watch the Senators?
That's right.
So you just can't get away from it.
How ironic.
Let us know. 803-0930, B-Maz and Beamer on WBE.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
E-N. It's Brian Mazurowski. It's Joe Beamer here on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a nice election day. I mean, it's going to be beautiful. Look at it outside.
It's a beautiful election day for a lot of, for some kids in Western New York. They're out of school today. Yeah, able to enjoy. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm excited to spend some of this time. I am going to have to get a nap in at some point.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to spend some of the afternoon in the car with the windows down.
That'll be helpful, a nap.
Yeah, I'm planning on a 2-4 nap. And then, help with, around the house, and then head out around 6:30. Be here for our coverage.
I want to see how people are taking in the election, how it's changed in, the past maybe 10 years or so. If you used to flip around the networks like Joe and I used to, like, how do you take in election coverage now? Does it matter who you watch? Amazon's out. Are you going to give Amazon a try? Does it matter, those things? Let us know, 803-0930.
And you also have, Brian, I'm on X right now, formerly known as Twitter, and on the side, you've already got ABC, Daily Wire, OutKick. They're already starting with live coverage online. And these are separate than their television coverage, and you've got, we've done the cable shows before when people say, well, I just go to live TV on Roku. There's even networks that you've never heard of on these free services.
You know who I'm watching right now?
Who's that?
People.
Election?
People Magazine.
Wow.
They're at live election day coverage. They got a live broadcast going on. I mean, we're not kidding when we say just about everybody has an election coverage that
surprise,
you can watch.
Surprise Kelly and Mark haven't kicked off an election coverage.
Who's this on TV?
I was going to say Steve Bannon, but I'm not sure who it is. No.
It looks like if the Joey from Full House was playing Steve Bannon in a new movie.
It does. Yeah.
I don't think that's the case, though.
No, I don't know who this is.
I'm going to go against that.
I don't usually know who's on Regis.
I mean, hey, our live election coverage basically started at 5 this morning.
It did.
It rolls right through. We're going to be live and local and breaking it all down for you right here on WBEM with, of course, help from a lot of the national services that we have and bring you here on WBEM. I know you spoke, you're going to be speaking with Geraldo a little bit later on.
8:30 tonight, Geraldo Rivera, going a bunch of issues, how he views this election, and compared, he points out he's been in the media for 54 years. and you know, just how elections have changed, how election year politics have changed. Interesting to talk with Geraldo at 8:30. We'll also be joined this evening at 7:20 by Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, how she's feeling, as that will be right before polls close. So make sure you tune in for that as well.
All right. Lots to look forward to later on this evening.
And David Bellavia will also be on 9. Carl Calabrese will be in studio. So Jack O'Donnell, we will have a lot of coverage for you. And yes, my annoying voice will be leading it all off tonight at 7.
It's, you know, especially now because it's so easy. I mean, the online election coverage, you know, like alternative broadcasts are nothing new. But now that every TV is a smart TV.
Yeah.
Like, they don't sell dumb TVs anymore, do they?
No. I used to love buying dumb TVs because they were so much cheaper.
And the smart TV stuff, like, never used to work well.
That's right.
Like, you ever, like, when they were first starting to come out, you ever try and watch Netflix on somebody's like smart TV?
You would just get an Amazon a Fire Stick.
Clunky, you know, just take forever. It looked like you were watching it on like an old tube TV or something like that.
My first
clear.
My first smart TV, I would still watch everything through the Xbox because it was just so much quicker and so much organized.
Now it's just.
It's the Roku stick or the Amazon stick in the TV.
It's off and you're to the radio. But like, it's so easy now to just click. And, you know, it's almost even easier to click through different live YouTube feeds than it is clicking, you know, back and forth with the networks.
Do you think those are more popular now? Obviously, because they're so easily available, as you pointed out. But also because it does, maybe I'm wrong, but you talk about the people who are just into it all the time. And the people who are like, who eat this stuff up all day, all night. They do have a side, right? They're either leaning to the left or the right. Do you think that's another reason these are so popular? Is because people want to watch a coverage that they know is tailored to their opinion?
Yeah, it's the thing I hate more than anything that we talk about all the time. Like, we don't have a monoculture. I mean, we never had like a true monoculture, but there were a lot of things that everybody could agree. I think it is an underrated, Joe, reason why we, you know, say that we see so much political division is because there are fewer and fewer things that bring us all together.
Right.
There are fewer and fewer things that everybody is in tune to, that we're all watching together. You know, you talk about Seinfeld all the time, and like, but that was like one of the shows that everybody was watching. Yep. And, you know, they call them water cooler shows because you can go to the water cooler. We don't even have one of those anymore. And like, you'd be able to talk to other people about that thing last night because you know that everybody's watching. Well, now, you know, TV, it's not that way. Try and find somebody who's watching the same TV show that you are.
I can't find anyone watching Columbo.
Exactly.
No.
But like, you watching Columbo in 2024 is not that weird because everybody's watching something different.
Right, exactly.
Like, last night I was watching an alien abduction thing. Jimmy, what was the last thing you were watching on TV? Nothing.
Yeah.
He doesn't even watch
Jimmy
TV.
Doesn't watch. Jimmy's always out working a gig or something.
But like, you ask 10 people,
yeah,
you know, what'd you watch last night, if anything? And you'll get 10 different answers. Like, there's not that. Everybody can seek out their own thing. There's so much music. You know what I say all the time? All right, Taylor Swift's the biggest star in the world, but I don't think she'll ever be as big as what Britney Spears was.
Right.
Because I never purposefully listened to a Britney Spears song, yet I heard them all a million times. You couldn't escape it. Mm. It was everywhere. Like, everybody kind of knew the music. Now, when I said Kendrick Lamar, is that who's doing the Super Bowl halftime show? It'll be the first halftime show I don't know a single song.
You haven't heard it? You know, he's in a beef right now with Drake, and a lot of his new songs are part of that rap beef with Drake.
Cool. So I've heard. I've never heard any of it.
You have heard that?
No, I haven't heard any of the songs. I mean, I've heard that there's a...
You know the beef.
I heard there's a beef.
Okay.
But I don't... You know...
I just want to give you the context when you hear these songs.
If there's a beef between the two of them, they should have picked the other one to do the halftime show because I probably have heard a couple Drake songs.
See, I think they should have picked both of them and they could have had the rap beef as the halftime show.
Just been
with
put
words.
The octagon.
With words. The octagon of words.
But like there's none of that anymore. Everybody's getting their news from different sites because there are a million different I think it's great because there are some really great outlets that have kind of come from the last 8 years of this big media disruption that we've been into. But I think it's absolutely contributing to that feeling that we are so like butting heads against each other, two sides, that no one understands each other anymore because we're almost living separate lives. On this, you know, we're in the same community experiencing completely different things.
Yep.
And if we didn't have the bills, my goodness, would be the one thing that we'd all, I don't know what we'd all have in common.
But that is the thing, like, that, you know, a lot of people are watching. It's kind of like the Seinfeld back in the day. The bills here locally.
It's the only thing.
But the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, the bill, football. Football. I mean, like, it's the only thing that everybody is, you know, on the same page about. That you, it's the only thing that you can go up to a group of people and assume that you can talk about, and everybody will kind of at least have some idea of what happened or what's going on, or can have a conversation.
Why did the Bucks not go for two? Some people will understand that.
Yeah.
Because football is still one thing that you watch live. And
but the, like, Monday, how about that kick?
Yeah.
It's the only thing that you could say around Western New York. They'll have everybody being like, yeah. Like, yes, I get it. And everywhere else, we're so splintered. And that absolutely plays into the what we see here. And the election night, you know, to go back to, you know, bring it back around to what we're saying, as I did my best political candidate totally get lost in something else. But to bring it back to election night, like, yeah, I do kind of miss the thing where we were all watching one of three broadcasts bringing you this information,
right?
And everybody, no matter what your view, was kind of zeroed in on, like, this was the info being presented to you. Now, like, you could be watching any one of a million different election night things and get probably a totally different idea of, I mean, the numbers are the numbers at the end of the day, but why the numbers are like that, you know, what is leading to, you can get a totally different picture of the country based on what you're watching tonight.
Or leading up. You could be watching one of these, you know, online broadcasts. And, you know, that's another thing about when it was the three networks, Brian. They usually let the AP call, right? There was a time where it wasn't the ABC decision desk, or it was the AP. But now everyone's got their own decision desk. So you could be watching some random online channel and they could call a state. And now you.
It's true. I said the numbers are the numbers. But if you flip around tonight, the numbers could potentially be different depending on what channel you're on.
You could be watching someone and they could at 10 say, well, Pennsylvania went this way. And they could just be doing that because maybe they're one of these tailored to one side. And then say the numbers come in, it's not what they called. Well, now you think something's up because the coverage you were watching said that this state had been called at 10 when literally no one else called it. So when you were watching the three networks, they all kind of called along the same time as the AP. Now you will have these online, and maybe they have good intelligence or whatever, but that is, again, why I think we are so splintered, is because you're getting a different explanation of why this is the way it is, like you said.
I do think that the, you know, rush to be first with calling a state or calling a race, I do think that's coming back around a little bit.
You want to be right, not first.
Yeah. Like, especially after 4 years ago, especially just, I mean.
But isn't that amazing that it took 4 years ago? Like, wouldn't that have been the case after 2000?
No, 2000, I think, is, you would think so. But then 2000, you know, maybe it was the case in 2004. And then by 2008, you started to have competition from more and more people online.
I see.
And that's when it really
flipped, yeah.
Went and, you know, crazy.
Yeah, we gotta,
because now you're like, oh my, Joe said Nebraska is going red. We got to get on this. And that's, you know, I wonder when you were watching, like, I don't know, go back to 96.
Dole Clinton.
Did they, like, when it was 9 o'clock, did they flash, all right, New York is, you know, went to Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
They did right at 9 o'clock? They did?
You have to remember, my parents were are very political people. And, I mean, I remember in 96, they had the TV on. Yeah, I mean, New York State was always the easy call in our lifetime. Obviously,
I'm just wondering, like, when that started. Like, did they ever wait for a couple votes to come in?
That's interesting. I mean, 96, they were calling things right away. I remember, I think we knew pretty early on in 96 that Clinton had won re-election, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I can't really remember that one. I think I was tired.
Yeah.
I was six.
I remember when my mom ran for office in Hornell, New York, And, you know, she had someone at the kitchen table, and, you know, this is before the internet was everywhere, on the phone, making phone calls, getting the raw numbers in from the Steuben County, whatever she was running for. And, you know, unfortunately, she lost by a couple votes, but we knew that night. I mean, there wasn't a lot of people to count.
You didn't demand a recount?
She did not demand a recount, but we still have the pencils that say Janet Beamer for, I don't remember what she ran for. I'm sorry. I was young, okay?
Dog catcher.
No, it was something a little higher up than that. But she was running against the mayor's like cousin or something. So, I mean, it was an uphill, it was an uphill battle.
The fix is in.
Yeah. Sean Hogan's cousin or whatever.
But you're not going to go back and relitigate all these years later.
30 years later? No,
30 years later and just bring it all back? I mean, come on. Why not?
But could you imagine if she had won, Brian, I would never have moved here. We may never have known each other. Isn't that crazy?
That is, wild.
Yeah.
Two random people voted the wrong way. And now, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny how it works. But how are you taking it in? You can let us know, 803-0930 on our text board. A lot of people saying, hey, we'll be listening here to WBEN. I like that.
I do too.
And that's it's probably, honestly, the best way to go about it.
Yeah.
You listen in. You don't have to be glued to the TV. No, you're going to be doing other things.
Let's be honest. A lot of people tonight are going to be living their lives like they would any other night. And you got your smart speaker in the kitchen. Hey, Alexa, play News Radio 930. And it'll be that background noise. And when something, hey, we'll let you know when there's news being made. You know what I mean?
What's the sounder tonight? It's just you. Hey!
Yeah. Ho. Are you listening? We should get a... Jimmy. Jimmy has a library of like 2 million sound effects on that computer. Jimmy needs to find a state called sounder that we can play tonight.
Just a reggaeton horn.
Something.
You know that thing?
Yeah. Something like that. Just to get people's attention. We should have a state called I like that. We're gonna look into that.
Ding. A simple bell.
I was thinking like the NFL draft tone.
Dun 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 ba bum. The Harry Potter music. I don't like
it. Yeah, there it is.
That's it.
We've got Nebraska to call.
Except
for the one district, because they split their state up. Don't forget that.
It should be like Paul Simon whistling.
Do I know that? Oh, geez. No, that's it. People are already going to be annoyed by me being on the air.
Or just give everyone a little earworm when they hear about Florida.
What do you think about Nebraska and Maine? Do you think more states should do that? Divvy up their electoral votes?
I mean, we'll get people talking about you.
Instead of you get every vote, because most primaries, they divvy up the votes. Should we be divvying up votes?
You know, I think it depends on honestly, New York would be one of the states you could see that making sense for. Well, where it's you're dominated by a major city and the rest of the state is like not so much. Because like even... You know, they say this about Pennsylvania. You know, you got Pittsburgh and you got Philadelphia, and then it's all, you know, rural in between. And, like, I guess that makes sense. But, I mean, New York even more so, to where it's like it's New York City.
Right.
And that is just the center of the universe. And, hey, there's a whole lot of other people there, too, that aren't necessarily, like, seeing the same needs as New York City does. I think there are some states that can make sense for, but I don't know if you necessarily need to do that everywhere.
But think about it, because right now...
Nebraska.
You don't think Omaha has different... But, you know, like, yeah, Nebraska and Maine, the two states that you wouldn't think that's necessary are the ones that divvy up their points. But you think of all the money that's dumped in states. Like, think about the WBEN of Pennsylvania right now and the money they're making off Trump and Harris ads, right? It would put other media outlets in play throughout the country in that lead up to the election.
So you're just looking for the cash.
Well, instead of dumping the cash in seven states, spread some of the love. That's all I'm saying.
I would be warm to the idea much more so than the idea that gets floated around by the losing party every 4 years, abolishing the Electoral College and going to the popular vote, which I just think would screw, for lack of a better
middle
term,
America.
Yeah, a large portion of the country. Like, it exists for a reason. We are a humongous country with a lot of different unique needs, and a lot of different people need a voice. You can't just ignore it.
Montana needs a voice.
Yeah. Yes. Like, yes. Wyoming needs it. Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma. You need a voice in Nevada, even. I mean, you know,
That's a state you could separate You have Vegas and then, what, Reno?
Yeah, that might make sense.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of people who need to have a voice in some way, shape, or form in the country where you can't just say, well, three cities will decide the election. Like, that's crazy in a country that's as big as ours. But I would be maybe a little more open to, like, it's almost a way of splitting the difference,
right?
Kind of.
But as we head into this, you know, a lot of the focus on the presidential race, Brian, you and I have talked about this, and I know David talked about it yesterday, and we'll talk about it more today. A lot of other races to keep, I mean, by the end of tomorrow, we will have a good look at what Congress will look like for the next 2 years, what the Senate will look like for the next 2 or 4 years. Very expected, 80-some% chance that the Senate will flip with Joe Manchin stepping aside and West Virginia most likely going to the governor there. And Montana could be switching from one of their senators being a Democrat to Republican.
So, you talk about a little talked about thing that just has a massive implication. The treatment of Joe Manchin.
Oh, yeah.
By Democrats over the last, 8 years or so. Here's the reason you have a majority and basically pushed him out.
Yeah.
And now you need to make up a seat somewhere else because you did that. To not realize, hey, this, he might not be as deep blue as the rest of the
red state,
but he's the only reason you have a majority. And that got, hardly any publicity nationwide because of the presidential race. And that's such a huge thing, Joe.
It's interesting to see West Virginia go from a blue state to now a very dependable red state. Like, how quickly that happened.
Yeah. Well, I think people there would be, if that's your guy in who's making a difference, by the way.
Yeah.
Your guy is the deciding factor. You have a say in a way that you've never had before, and that say is now gone because, I kind of swing the other way too. I am a little more optimistic than a lot of people we talk to. I cringed every time we talked to somebody who said, weeks maybe, or, a long... I really do think that we will have a look tonight. I
hope so.
I'm not going to say here, we'll definitely know who won, but I am more optimistic than a lot of people we've talked to that this is going to be more clear, more soon than what some people are expecting.
Now, do you say that because you think it's going to be a decisive or just because of the changes made from 2020?
I think both. Think that this is more so the changes made from 2020, where more states, you'll have more of the vote counted in a sane way. But also, I don't think anybody should be surprised with anything. I would not rule out a decisive victory by either candidate.
Yeah.
That's part of it being a toss-up in so many states is, one candidate could win all those states, and
right,
you might not even need to rely on Pennsylvania for the vote. And I wouldn't be surprised if it happened either way. So I kind of think for both of those, feeling good.
Well,
about a result tonight.
Well, and hopefully we'll have that result tonight. But whenever you have that result, you will hear it here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'll see you back here tonight at 7 p.m. Tune in. Tell your friends to tune in on their smart speaker, on the dial, and on your Odyssey app. Brian will be back here tomorrow at 5 a.m. David Bellavia is up next. You won't want to miss a minute of that show. And it's right after the news with Lucas on News Radio 930 WBEN.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.